Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series of studies on biblical characters. Today we're going to take up a discussion on Gideon. Gideon, he succeeded by trusting God. First, in our study on Gideon, we want to look at Gideon's exploits. Gideon's exploits. And for that, we need to turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 with me. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1 of Judges 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gazer, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So what we have here now is what I just read to you. What's taken place before God is going to raise up Gideon as a judge in Israel to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Midianites? So we see it's a very difficult situation for the children of Israel. And of course, they got in that situation in the first place because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And they disobeyed the Lord. And so God brought the Midianites upon them. And we see that anything that they sowed, crops, the Midianites and the other heathen people would come and take them. And as a result, Israel was living in caves and dens. Amen. Now, we've just read about the what's taken place prior to Gideon being raised up of the Lord to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Now, look at Israel's state after being delivered by Gideon. Just to get the contrast here, Judges chapter 7 and verses 24 and 25. Judges 7, verses 24 and 25. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth Barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth Barah and Jordan. And they took two princesses of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb under the rock. Oreb and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. So here we see Israel going after their enemies. Amen. They're in pursuit of their enemies. So we see, first of all, the plight of the Israelites at the hand of the Midians. The Midianites, we saw that. We read that in Judges chapter 6, let's just look at verse 7 again. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. So what we see here then, oftentimes when we see in the book of Judges the children of Israel doing evil in the sight of the Lord and him bringing up a heathen nation to conquer them, amen, they cry out, amen, for relief. And here the Israelites were in bondage, and they were overrun by the Midianites in a land roughly the size of Texas, and they were hiding in caves. Bear in mind, these were God's chosen people. So we see them in a desperate situation. And then God called a man to lead in battle. And we read about his victory over the Midianites in Judges chapter 7. We've read in Judges chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. But let's begin in Judges 7, verse 15, and pick up the action there. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came in the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place around about the camp and all the hosts and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah and Zerarath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. So here we see the victory over the Midianites with Gideon as their leader. Gideon is noted for the fact that he was the leader of the people who removed the Midianites from the land of Israelites, and limited and eliminated their bondage. Gideon freed a nation. Amen. God raised him up to free the nation of Israel. So we've looked at his exploits. The second thing we want to look at is Gideon's experience for the job. Let's see what kind of experience he had. First of all, let's look and see what it says about his family, his background in Judges chapter 6 in verse number 25. Notice with me what it says. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. So here we see that his family was a worshiper of Baal, a false god, amen, a false idol. And God instructs Gideon to break down the altar and take down the grove that's with it. So we see that Gideon, we find that he came from an ungodly family to begin with. Now, let's also look at his finances. I mean, did he come from a well-to-do family? No, I don't believe so. We're going to see something here in Judges chapter 6 and verse 15. And he said unto him, this is Gideon, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So the Lord has told him he's going to be the judge that God's raising up, the Lord's raising up, to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. And he said, but how can that be? I'm broke. We find his finances. We find that he's broke. He said that he's the least in his father's house. And then we also want to look at his failures. His failures. Looking in the sixth chapter of Judges again with me, Judges chapter 6, in verse number 11, and notice what it says. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So we find that Gideon really had never done anything worthy of note in the past. Amen. You know, he hadn't done any great feats for the Lord, hadn't done anything. There we find him hiding the wheat from the Midianites. Now, let's look at his friends. His friends. And for that, we have to turn to Judges chapter 7. And first in verse 3 of Judges 7, we read, Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And look at verses 5 and 6 of Judges 7. So he brought down the people under the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down with his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink. So we see here, as we look at Gideon's friends, that he was surrounded by faithless people. And then we also not only want to look at his failures, his friends, but also his fear. His fear. And let's look in Judges chapter 6, first in verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertaineth unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And of course, the reason he was hiding it was is because he was fearful. Amen. Then look at verse 23 of Judges 6. And the Lord said unto him, speaking to Midian, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. So we see that he was fearful. Gideon was fearful of losing his life. But God told him not to be fearful, that he wasn't going to die. Look at verse 27 of Judges chapter 6. And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And of course, the Lord had told him to go and destroy the altar that his father had resurrected there to the false god Baal, and also to cut down the grove with it. But he was fearful. He did it at night, not during the day. He was afraid of his father and the house, his father's household. Then one last place we want to see here, in verse 36 of Judges 6, But Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, is as thou hast said. Again, he's still showing fear here. He's still very fearful, is he not? So we find that Gideon, each of these verses, is spoken of as being a fearful man. And it would seem that a man with this type of experience would never be a success in anything. So far we've looked at his exploits and his experience, Gideon's experience for the job. He didn't have any. But it's amazing how the Lord can use people without experience, amen, if we be yielded to him. But now we want to look at the third part of our study on Gideon is the explanation of Gideon's success. The explanation of Gideon's success. And that was that he was willing to trust the Lord. Because he had nothing in his background. We saw he was broke. He was fearful. He came from an ungodly family. Amen. So we see that really he had no experience for the job that God had called him to do, to be to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. The only logical explanation, in spite of all the drawbacks and hindrances to his being a success, is that he had faith. In fact, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and of course Hebrews chapter 11 is sometimes called the Hall of Fame of the Heroes of the Faith, the Roll Call of the Heroes of the Faith, but he's mentioned there, amen. Hebrews chapter 11 with me. In Hebrews chapter 11, he's mentioned there in verse number 32. We read, it says, And what shall I say, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. See, Gideon is called a man of faith. Amen. He is reaccounted among the heroes of faith. Amen. So apparently, the reason that God blessed Gideon was in spite of all the hindrances, all the drawbacks, amen, all the reasons why he should not have been a success, he was willing to do that which the Lord would have him to do. He was willing to put his fear in the background and do what the Lord said. He was willing to forget all of his hindrances, all of the hindrances, and follow the Lord. And that's a good point for you and I to remember. Amen. Many of us may not feel qualified or feel, well, God couldn't call me to do this or do that because I don't have the experience. Amen. And what I've found is the Lord has worked in my life as I began out as a Christian. Not that many years ago, many of you may be saved a lot longer than I have. I've been saved almost 17 years. But I could see God giving me different tasks to do. And in each one he gave me, had more responsibility associated with it. A little known to myself, because God will just show you a step at a time, and thank God for that, because we couldn't handle if he showed us everything all at once. And as I was newly saved, if you told me someday that I would be pastoring, amen, I would have said you were crazy, but because I didn't have the experience. But God put me in the place so I could obtain the experience. If he calls you to do something, if he calls you, gives you a ministry, remember, he's going to give you what you need to be able to fulfill it. And as Gideon was faithful, that's what he asks us to be faithful. Amen. You know, we read in Corinthians, he doesn't call the mighty, the noble, the intelligence to do his work. No, he calls the foolish things. Amen. I'm glad I was a foolish thing that God could use if we'd only be willing to follow him, trust in him, without, you know, doubting. That's when we fail, when we doubt the Lord. And we've got to remember, as it says in his words, his ways are not our ways. And thank God for that. Oftentimes, we try to put God in our frame of thinking, and we're saying, we use our minds, our finite minds, to try to think, outthink God and figure out what God is going to do. We've got to quit trying to do that. I mean, I've quit trying to figure out God a long time ago. You just cannot do it. Just leave it up to Him. If you let Him handle it, everything will fall into place. His timing is perfect, that I've found. And we just need oftentimes to wait on Him, trust in Him as Gideon did here. We also see that as we're looking at the explanation of Gideon's success, one of the reasons was he was willing to trust the Lord. Second of all, he was willing to try a new method. Who would have thought that taking pitchers, lamps, and trumpets, and then going out and breaking the pitchers and blowing the trumpets could defeat the Midianites? Amen. If you think about it, it was very similar when Joshua and his men marched around the walls of Jericho, just as the Lord told them to do, and the walls came tumbling down. I mean, there's another case. Joshua was willing to trust the Lord, even though that didn't make sense to him, and I'm sure this didn't make sense to Gideon to get the pitchers and put lamps in them and then break them and blow the trumpets. But that's what God chose to use. That's the method He chose to use. If we look at David and Goliath, he used a young lad with a sling and one stone to fell a great giant. So who are we to try to, outthink God and try to think, well, what is He up to? How's He going to do this? Again, just be willing to do what God has asked you to do. Amen. And the results will come out. It will be great. And if we try to intervene and mess with what God's trying to do in our lives, boy, what a mess. I've done that. Maybe some of you have experienced that also. And then finally, as we look at the third thing we want to see about the explanation of Gideon's success is he was willing to be alone. Amen? He was willing to be alone. And we find in Judges chapter 7, in verse 3, and verses 5 and 6, that many of the people left him. Many of the people departed. Amen. We see there in verse 3, first of all, there were 22,000 that left him, and there remained 10,000 people. He started out with 32. 22,000 were fearful. They left. 10 were remaining. And then we find those were whittled down to just 300 men. Amen. And I think part of the reason was is so no one in Gideon's army could say that it was them and they were great warriors and great fighters and they defeated the Midianites. They couldn't say that, because they were overwhelmed. They were outnumbered. The odds, as we say, were stacked against them. Amen. But here we have a man. Amen. Even though the odds were against him, he was willing to be alone. Amen. To stand alone for the Lord. To trust in the Lord. To try a new method. To do it God's way. And that's why the results were successful, because Gideon was willing to trust the Lord, willing to try a new method of battle, using the pitchers, the lamps, and the trumpets, even though it may not have made sense to him. Amen. He went ahead and he was willing to be alone as God whittled down the numbers from 32, then down to 10, and then finally to 300. Amen. He continued to trust in the Lord. Because he knew, you know, that expression we hear oftentimes, little is much when God is in it. And that's the truth. God was in this battle. Amen. God delivered them. Now, if you think about it, think about the nation of Israel for a moment. As we think about a little is much when God is in it. Think about the nation of Israel. How many people have tried to annihilate her, get rid of her, and God chose her as her chosen people, not because she was great numbers. Amen. But look it. She's a small in number, but God has been in her life for centuries upon centuries and has continued to preserve them. Amen. Little Israel. And of course, someday, amen, if you're a Christian, you should love the Jew, you should love Israel, because right now, as we read in the scriptures, only blindness, temporary blindness to Israel, amen. We've got in on the blessing, we've got in on God's grace, his salvation, but eventually God's going to turn back to the Jew. Israel will be saved, amen. They're in the tribulation, amen. They're going to see him physically, Jesus Christ, when he returns those who pierced him, amen. Christ will set up his millennial kingdom on this earth. Kingdom of heaven will be physically and literally on this earth for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ reigning from his throne in Jerusalem. And at that point, the Israelites are a earthly people. God has promised them the land there, amen, over there in Palestine, that whole, not just that little place that they occupy now, but the whole shooting match, as they say, amen. And we're a heavenly people. Christians are a heavenly people, amen. New Jerusalem's our home. But God's preserved those little Israel, and will preserve a remnant. You'll be saved during the tribulation because God is with them. God is in it. Amen. So, as we conclude our lesson on Gideon, Gideon had the great requirement for being a successful Christian worker that we need today. Gideon was more willing to trust the Lord than he was to trust his own judgment. And that's an essential requirement, a great requirement to be a successful Christian worker, is to not lean unto our own understanding, amen, as it says in Proverbs chapter 3, in verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that's exactly what Gideon did. And Gideon was successful. Israel was delivered out of the hands of the Midianites. Amen. And once again, peace. It was peace with the nation of Israel from her enemies. Amen. Until, of course, the next time that she, after a while, did evil in the sight of the Lord. And we see that cycle. They do, through the book of Judges, they do evil in the sight of the Lord. God raises a heathen country to put them under oppression. They cry out to God. He raises up a deliverer to deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. And the same thing repeats itself throughout the book of Judges. So Gideon, if you take anything away from the lesson today, just remember he was successful because he was willing to trust the Lord more than he was willing to trust his own judgment. So that concludes our lesson on the biblical character Gideon today on the pastor's study. Next time we'll take up another biblical character and continue our series on biblical characters. And until we meet again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study And my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.